they won the trophy. BBC News.
Mariella Frostrup talks to the Canadian Booker Prize-winning author Margaret Atwood about her latest book, In Other Worlds, which explores the writer's lifelong love of science fiction. That's in an hour's time. First on Radio 4, our classic serial. Silas Marner, starring George Costigan. Accused of a crime he did not commit, weaver Silas Marner is exiled from his local community and church. He flees to the countryside and leads an isolated, solitary life, living only for his work and earnings. When his hard-earned money is stolen, he's heartbroken and bereft. Then on New Year's Eve, struck by one of his trances, a little girl wanders over his threshold. Her tiny footsteps in the snow lead him to her mother, who, in an opium daze, has collapsed. Silas Marner by George Eliot, dramatised by Richard Cameron.
Happy New Year to you, Macy.
And to you, Dr. Kimball, sir.
They make a fine couple. Young Squire Godfrey and Miss Nancy, don't you think?
By jingle, they do.
Isn't she a beauty?
There's nobody I'd think as anybody could be as pretty. I shouldn't wonder if she's Madame Cass someday soon. Ah, he's taking her away to sit down. That looks like sweethearting, that does.
You'll be more comfortable here. I'll bring your sister to look at the tower.
Thank you, sir. I needn't give you any more trouble. I'm sorry you've had such an unlucky partner.
Well, that's very ill-natured of you, to be sorry you danced with me.
Oh, no, sir, I don't mean to say what's ill-natured at all. When gentlemen have so many pleasures, one dance can matter but very little.
You know that isn't true. You know one dance with you matters more to me than all the pleasures of the world.
No, indeed, Mr. Godfrey, that is not known to me, and I have very good reasons for thinking different. But if it is true, I don't wish to hear it.
Oh, dear heart alive, sister. Let us look at this gown.
I suppose I'd better go.
It's no matter to me whether you go or stay.
Do you want me to go, Nancy?
As you like.
Well, I'll stay then.
What is it?
Marner, the weaver. He carries a young girl.
I want the doctor!
What's the matter, Marner? The doctor's here, but say quietly what you want him for.
It's a woman. She's dead, I think. Dead, in the snow at the stone pit, not far from my door.
Is the child hers?
Go out into the hall and I'll fetch the doctor for you.
Oh, you'd better leave the child here, Mr. Marner. I'll tell one of the girls to fetch it.
No, no. I can't part with it.
But you must.
I can't let it go. It's come to me. I've a right to keep it.
Now, Marner, I'm the doctor. Ladies, I must trouble you to stand aside. Godfrey, get me a pair of thick boots, would you?
Yes, I'll come with you.
Will somebody fetch Dolly Winthrop to Marner's cottage? She's the best woman to get.
I'll fetch her.
Come then, Marner. Let go of the child.
I will not.
Well, as you will. Show me the place.
No call to catch cold.
No, Mrs. Winthrop, I'll stay now. I'm outside. I'll stay outside the cottage here. Come and tell me if I can do anything.
You're very good, sir. You have a tender heart.
Dear God, let it be too late. Let it be dead and leave you free to marry Nancy. I promise to be a better man. No more secrets. And the child, your child, let it be taken care of somewhere. And if your abandoned wife still lives, then all is lost.
You should have sent one of the men. There's nothing here to be done. She's dead. A good many hours before we brought her in here, I should say.
What sort of woman is she?
Well, a young woman, emaciated, long black hair, some vagrant, quite in rags. She has got a wedding ring on, however. They must fetch her away to the workhouse tomorrow till a grave be dug. Come along. We're done here.
I want to look at her.
What?
I think I saw such a woman yesterday.
Oh, I'll wait then.
I'll overtake you in a minute or two.
Oh, very well.
Master Marner,
Mrs. Winthrop, forgive me. It's just that I saw a woman on the road yesterday and I wondered if it was she. If I might take a look?
Yes, of course.
No, I cannot say that I know her. The child sleeps.
Fighting it. A bowl of porridge and a warm fire. She wants to see who you are. Look.
But look how she stares up at you, Master Marner.
You'll take the child to the parish tomorrow?
Who says so? Will they make me take her?
Why, you wouldn't like to keep her, would you? An old bachelor like you.
Till anybody says they've a right to take her away from me. The mother's dead, and I reckon it's got no father. It's a lone thing. And I'm a lone thing. That's all I know.
Let me give something towards finding it clothes. Here.
What the...
Good night, then, Marner. Mrs. Winthrop?
Master Godfrey?
Half-sovereign. What clothes should I buy, Mrs. Winthrop?
Hey, Master Marner, there's no call to buy no more than a pair of shoes. I've got the little petticoats as Aaron wore 5 years ago, and it's ill spending money on them baby clothes, for the child'll grow like grass in May, bless it, that it will. I'll search out what she'll need. Patched and darned, they may be, but neat and clean and fresh as cut herbs. Tomorrow we'll make use of your tub. Some soap and water and fresh clean clothes. We'll burn her rags.
Yes.
A poor mother. Froze to death. And the child walked in over the snow like it had been a little starved robin. Didn't you say the door was open?
Yes. The door was open.
But out on such a night.
My money's gone, I don't know where, and this has come from, I don't know where.
Ah, it's like the night and the morning, the rain and the harvest. One goes and the other comes and we know nothing how nor where. We may strive and scrat and fend, but it's little we can do to alter it. The big things come and go, we know striving about, and they do that, they do. And I think you're in the right to keep the little un, Master Marner, seeing as it's been sent to you. Though there are folks as no doubt will think different. You'll happen be a bit hopeless with it while it's so little. But I'll come and welcome and see to it for you.
Thank you, kindly. I'll be glad if you tell me things, but I want to do things for it myself. Else it may get fond of somebody else and not fond of me. I've been used to fending for myself in the house. I can learn. I can learn.
Oh, anyone would think the angels in heaven couldn't be prettier. All your golden curls. Now, let's pat you dry. And now then, this little shirt goes on first, see?
Yes.
See there, she's fondest of you. She wants to go in your lap, I'll be bound. Go on then, take her, Master Marner. You can put the things on. And then you can see as you've done for her from the first of her coming to you.
Like this.
You're trembling, but you take to it quite easy, Master Marner. Most men are awkward and contrary, God help them. But when the drink's out of them, they aren't unsensible. But what will you do when you're forced to sit in your loom? For she'll get busier and mischievouser every day, she will, bless her. It's lucky you've got that high hearth instead of a grate, for that keeps the fire more out of her reach. But if you've got anything as can be spilled, a brock, or fit to cut her fingers off, she'll be at it.
Could I tie her to the leg of the loom? Tie her with a good long strip or something?
Well, mayhap that'll do as it's a little girl, for they're easier to sit in one place than lads. I'll bring you my little chair and some bits of red rags and things for her to play with. And she'll sit and chatter to them as if they were alive. I should have been glad for one of mine to be a girl. To think, I could have taught her to scour and mend and the knitting and everything. But I can teach this little un, Master Marner, when she gets old enough.
But she'll be my little un. She'll be nobody else's.
No, to be sure. You'll have a right to her if you're a father to her and bring her up according. But you must bring her up like christened folks' children and take her to church and let her learn the catechism as my little Aaron can say off.
Papa.
That's what you must do, Master Manor, if you do the right thing by the orphan child. It's my belief she has never been christened. And it's nothing but right as the parson should be spoke to. And I could talk to Mr. Macy, the parish clerk, about it this very day. For if the child went anyways wrong and you hadn't done your part by it, Master Manor, it'd be a thorn in your bed forever, or this side of the grave and the other.
I want to do everything as can be done for the child, and whatever's right for it in this place and you think will do it good, I'll act according, if you tell me.
Well then, Master Manor, I'll ask Mr. Macy to speak to the parson about it. And you must fix on a name for it, because it must have a name give when it's christened.
My mother's name was Epsibar, and my little sister was named after her.
Hey, that's a hard name.
It's a Bible name.
Oh, then I've no call to speak against it. But wasn't it awkward calling your sister by a big name when you've got nothing big to say, Master Manor?
We called her Eppy.
Oh, that'd be a deal handier. Anyways, I'll go now. I'll speak about the christening afore dark. And I wish you the best of luck. And it's my belief as it'll come to you if you do what's right by the orphan child. Bless the angel. You'll let me bring my Aaron one of these days, and he'll show her his little cart as his father's made for him, and the black and white pup as he's got a rear in.
Eppy. Eppy, what? You are tangling me in ribbon. Don't tug. I have to finish this. Eppy. Oh, come on then. I'll leave tonight. Let's say hello to the sunshine. That's what you're telling me, isn't it? Hey? Thank you. That's a pretty one. Pretty blue borage. Your father knows his herbs, or used to. Can you pick the stalks as well? Listen. Eppy, listen. Bird. It's a bird.
Bird.
That's it. Bird.
I see Godfrey Cass is a regular over at the Warrens these days, caught him, Miss Nancy.
Yeah. She's no doubt the one made him a great deal more agreeable to all of late.
Yeah, there'll be a wedding date set before Easter, I'll wager. Yeah.
There's none would as take your money, John. It's on everybody's lips.
Yeah, if you were to ask me, I'd say he's the better man for his brother Duncey being gone.
Aye, we're all the better for that, Jem. Some say he's gone for a soldier.
Duncey Cass? No. He's one for giving orders, not taking them.
Yeah, it's my firm belief he's fled the country over some dark deed.
And not come back. The children wouldn't suffer for it anyway.
What children?
Can you see Godfrey and Nancy's marriage without a houseful?
No, I suppose I can't.
And would any of them, boy or girl, be the better for having Duncey as an uncle on the doorstep? To follow his example? No, sir, they would not.
Mm-hmm. That child of the weavers, eh? Don't she just think the world of him?
There's nobody can say as what. He's not doing the very best he can by her.
Who'd have thought it, eh?
Aye, it's just a strange picture. Bent beetle of a man. And that bright little butterfly beside him.
It's very good of you, Master Godfrey.
It was about to be thrown out. It needed a little mending.
Why, it looks like a new bed. Master Manor will be sorry to have missed you. He will want to thank you himself. He's taken her for a walk. Or rather, I fancy Eppy has taken him. She does love it so outside.
And brings the hedgerows home with her, I see.
Indeed, sir. The flowers so brighten up the place.
They do, yes. He's coping with the child, then?
Oh, yes, sir. She can lead him a merry dance, though. A little mischief when it comes upon her to be. He won't chastise the child as he should, you see. I said to him, you've to be watchful, and when it's rightly needed, don't be afraid of a bit of chastisement.
Put her in the coal hole if she's naughty, I said. I told him to keep the scissors out of her reach. He'd got her tied to the loom with a ribbon while he was working. But what does he do but leave his scissors on the side? So that when he's not looking, she takes them up and cuts the ribbon. Aye, cuts it herself. She's watched him do it often enough and toddles off outside. It's only when he's in need of the scissors himself.
Eppy? Eppy?
Frantic he is. You've only to see them stones yourself out there, how a little body could slip fast in caves and crevices.
Eppy? Eppy?
And the stone pit, a long fall to the water, only puts him in more dread. He'd no idea how long she'd been gone, you see.
Please, no. No, Silas, what have you done? Eppy. My Eppy.
Had she managed to get herself under the stile and into the field the way they always went?
Eppy!
Of course, the grass is way higher than she is in the meadow, so all he can do is search it bit by bit and call out. Eppy! Not a sign nor hair of her head.
Eppy!
On to the next field he goes. Now, there's a pond in this field, and it's summer shallow, all but a puddle in a great sticky rim of mud. And when he gets there...
Papa.
There she is, sitting right in it, using her boot as a bucket.
Oh, Eppy. Oh, my Eppy.
Eppy.
My love, your daddy thought he'd lost you.
So I says to him, I hope you made sure you taught her a lesson, Master Marner. Well, I did try her in the coal hole, says he, but only for a moment, and I couldn't leave her in that place, I couldn't. She'll grow out of it, he says. She's got no tricks but what she'll grow out of, Mrs. Winthrop.
She brings him much joy. It's plain that she is a treasure to him.
Aye, sir. We don't see white-winged angels no more, not like they did in ancient times. But they come still, I think. It's my belief the little child that slips its hand in ours is often the angel that leads us away from what might destroy us.
It's Master Godfrey has been overseeing the estate for a good few years anyway. So I don't expect we'll see much change.
Aye. A good few years, the old squire's routine were no more than Red House to Rainbow Inn and back again, God rest him.
God rest him. Yeah, the young missus trade, John.
Yeah, I will that.
It's a pity the old man never lived to see any grandchildren.
Mm, how long was he supposed to wait?
How long have they been wed now?
15, 16 years?
Never. Godfrey and Miss Nancy?
Wasn't little Eppy christened just a few weeks before they got wed?
Yeah, she was. That's true.
And look where she is now.
He's right, John.
Yeah, isn't he always?
You want to hold on. Not let them grow up so fast. It's a natural thought, Master Marner. You mustn't think ill of yourself for that.
The girl is all but gone, Mrs. Winthrop. 18 tomorrow. Young woman now. Her years have flown by so quickly, it's all a one. There's no calendar to it.
It must seem so. For my part, I see a deal of Eppy's headlong dash through you.
How so?
The way you've woke up to the world, Master Marner. The light brighter in your eyes. Dead to the world you once were. You remember the way you were before she came. A proper hermit.
I do. More and more I do. And think what a sad and joyless life it was. Though I hope I can say there was once a time I was a part of the world, not as happy as I am now. But I recall a time I was on good terms with life.
How was it so?
Had a life of purpose and order, under God's grace. I lived in a busy, thriving town. Good friends. And a girl, I loved.
Oh?
We were engaged to be married. But she lost whatever trust she had in me when they condemned me for a crime I had not committed. A crime that was, I'm certain of it since, planned and executed to make her turn against me. My very best friend is now her husband.
A terrible wrong.
The more so, since my heart and soul trusted in God's deliverance. The guilty judgment set me against all that I believed in then. Not a slow, smouldering doubt, but a sudden and sure, red-hot denial. What else could a man do that had given his life to God to be spurned by him, made an outcast of all he knew and loved?
Tell me, Master Manor, how they found you guilty?
Each brother of the chapel order cast out a lot. I must suppose the most did reveal guilty.
Well, it takes some understanding. Your Bible is the same as what they've got at church and what Eppie learned to read in.
Oh, yes, every bit the same. The casting of lots is in the Bible.
Oh, dear.
Where does it tell you that liars and thieves prosper while an honest man is made the devil's disciple?
Hey, but he was a bad man all along. I can never rightly know the meaning of what I hear in church. Only a bit here and there. But I do know it's good words. Everything's a big puzzle to me when I think on it. The fever come and took off helpless people. The trouble in the world, murder and mayhem. And there's things we can never make out the rights on. Them above have a tenderer heart than I've got. But I felt in me insides I was doing the right thing by you. All we can do is trust in Master Manor. Do the right thing as far as we knows and to trust them. For if us, as knows little, can see a bit of good and rights, we can be sure there's good and rights bigger than we know of. I feel it in me inside as it must be so. If you could have just gone on trusting, then you would have had to run away from your fellow creatures and been so alone.
Been hard to trust and then.
And so it would.
But you're right, Mrs. Winthrop, there is good in the world. I have a feeling of that now, and it makes a man feel as there's a good deal more than he can see, in spite of the trouble and wickedness. The drawing of the lots is dark. But the child was sent to me. The dealings with us, the dealings. Eppie?
I am watching the sunset.
You seem so far away.
How old was my mother?
Not much more than you.
I felt so close to her today.
I know. Here. Something I've never shown you. I think it should be yours to treasure. I made the little box to keep it in.
My mother's wedding ring.
Happy birthday, Eppie.
Tell me again about her. Going out?
I need to see Osgood about the dairy.
But Priscilla and Father...
Let them stay to dinner. I'll be back by then.
But it's Sunday.
Oh, I know what day it is, Nancy. We both know what day it is.
All the more reason for a husband to be with his wife.
No, I cannot look at you.
Why, thank you.
I cannot stand to see you so sad. We have a remedy before us, Nancy.
A remedy?
No, not remedy.
For grief? For the loss of our little girl.
I didn't mean it to sound so light a thing. A man would be stoned not to see the measure of your heart's sorrow. We have made this come between us, Nancy. I dread this day coming, each year more than the last.
Nancy?
Showed Priscilla your new planting.
Are you unwell? Come, Prissy.
This dairy must be decided upon. Better today than tomorrow.
Yes, of course. Whatever is the matter? Will you stay to dinner? Father can have his nap in the library.
Oh, Nancy, dear sister, tell me.
Our little girl was born this day.
Oh, I am so sorry, Nancy. I had forgotten. Forgive me.
2 days in the world.
If it was the Lord's will...
Oh, I accept God's will, Prissy. What else can I do? I try so hard when this day comes. But Godfrey watches me and I him, and it's like there's some great deep pit between us. On any other day, why, you must know and see, I am contented with the blessings we have. I am, truly. If only Godfrey would be contented. Oh, it's only natural he should be disappointed at not having any children.
You must not blame yourself. What is not meant to be... Come, show me the garden.
Has he mentioned adoption again? He thinks it a remedy for our loss.
Is it so wrong of me to resist?
I don't know.
You think me foolish, Prissy.
Not so. If it is what you believe to be right.
I cannot help what I feel. If I cannot have children, why then, it seems to me that to adopt is to fly in the face of providence. Throw down a challenge to fate. It can only invite disaster.
But Godfrey thinks otherwise.
Oh, that girl of Silas Marner's, he says, she doesn't belong to him, and what harm has come to him because of it? But, you see, Prissy, the weaver didn't seek her out, as we would be doing. The girl went to him.
And that makes a difference. I don't see...
A child that we took away from someone, took it in to satisfy our own needs. Why, it must turn out ill. As a curse on our selfishness, as much as on our trying to change destiny.
How can it be selfish to offer a child all that you can give?
You think as he does, don't you?
I know that any child would find in you a most loving mother, and it would want for nothing. Out of the poverty and hardship many children suffer, why, this would be heaven. But then, I know of one case of adoption.
And?
The child was never other than a trial. And as an adult, much the same. Transported at the age of 23.
What? You see? Oh, Godfrey has been so good about it, Prissy. Many men would have been angry with me for standing out against their wishes. But he has never been the man to say an unkind word. It's only what he can't hide. Everything seems so empty to him, I know. And the land. What a difference it would make to him when he goes about seeing to things if he had children growing up that he was doing it all for.
Oh, stop this. Where will this take you, Nancy? You will make yourself ill with it. You are content, you say, if only he could be. As I am content to be a spinster. Isn't our loss, lack of, just the same, more so than a man's? If we can bear it and be content, why can't a man? Godfrey may well have married himself a woman who'd have had a house full of children by him, but found 1,000 other ways to vex him. There's none more loving than you are, Nancy. And he must know it and be thankful.
Something to reflect on in the sermon, Father. Look how pretty the red mountain ash is.
Where?
By the rectory wall.
Aaron walks behind you.
I know. I wish we had a garden.
Well, much work goes into one such as this.
A little garden, I mean. With double daisies like Mrs. Winthrop's. A great deal of digging, I suppose, to take out the stones and bring in fresh soil. You couldn't do that.
I could do that.
It'd be too hard work for you.
If you want a bit of garden, in a morning I could take a turn with a spade before I sat down to the loom. Why didn't you tell me before as you wanted a bit of garden?
I can dig it for you, Master Marner. It'd be play for me after I've done my day's work.
Aaron, my lad, is it you? Well, we were so taken with talking we wasn't aware of you. Well, if you could help me with the digging, we might get her a bit of garden all the sooner.
Well, I could come to Stonepits this afternoon, if that's to your liking. And we'll settle what land's to be taken in. And I'll get up an hour earlier in the morning and begin on it.
There now, Father. And I can mark out the beds and make holes and plant the roots. It'll be a deal livelier at the stone pits when we've got some flowers.
I can bring you cuttings, a bits of anything from the squire's house.
Well, don't make them free for us or ask for anything that is worth much, for Mr Cass has been so good to us and I couldn't abide to be imposing for garden stuff.
No, there's no imposing. There's never a garden in all the parish, but there's endless waste in it. But I must go back now, or Mother will be wondering where I've got to.
I knew Aaron would dig it for us. I knew that very well.
You're a deep little one, you are. But you'll make yourself fine and beholden to him.
Oh, no, I shan't. He likes it. Father, if I was to be married, ought I to be married with my mother's ring?
Why, have you been thinking on it?
Only this last week, since Aaron talked to me about it.
And what did he say?
He said he should like to be married because he was going on 24 and had got a good deal of gardening work now old Mr Mott's given up, and he goes twice a week regular to Mr Cass's, and they're going to take him on at the rectory.
And who is it he's wanting to marry?
Why, me, to be sure, Father. As if he'd want to marry anybody else.
And you mean to have him, do you?
Yes, sometime. I don't know when. Everybody's married sometime, Aaron says. Well, and not everyone.
No.
I shouldn't want things to change between us, Father.
But they must.
Aaron said, I could never think of taking you away from Master Marnareppy, and I said it'd be no use if you did, Aaron. And he wants us all to live together, so as you needn't work so hard, and he'd be as good as a son to you. That was what he said.
And should you like that, Eppy?
I shouldn't mind it. I should like to go on a long while, just as we are. Only Aaron does want a change, and he made me cry a bit, only a bit, because he said I didn't care for him. For if I cared for him, I should want us to be married as he did.
Oh, my blessed child. You're over young to be married. But there's this to be thought on, Eppy. Things will change, whether we like it or not. You have to think of what's ahead for your sake, not mine. And I would like to think as you'd have somebody else besides, beyond me, somebody young and strong, as'll outlast your own life and take care of you.
Then would you like me to be married, Father?
I'll not be the man to say no, Eppy.
Look, Father, look how pretty Mother's furze bush is.
Aye. All's well, she says. Doesn't that just show her everlasting love for you? Come to you in a blaze of beauty.
Do I look like her?
I think you do, yes.
But not my hair. She wasn't fair like me.
No.
Tell me again how you found her.
You led me out to her. I remember your little footsteps in the snow. You stretched out your arms and I saw her then, asleep in the furze bush, her pillow.
I dream of her sometimes. Father, we'll take the furze bush into the garden, and just against it, I'll put snowdrops and crocuses.
We'll need a fence.
Why not make a wall? There's lots of stones about. You and I could carry the smallest, and Aaron would carry the rest, I know he would. And look, see here, around the big pit, all these stones. Oh, Father, come and look here. See how the water's gone down since yesterday. Why, yesterday the pit was ever so full.
Well, to be sure, that's the draining they've begun on since harvest.
What's that, Father?
Where?
Something between the rocks. Down there. What could it be?
The master's back, ma'am. Putting away the horses, there's not a man to be seen in the yard. Did you see all the folk passing in haste? Somewhat's up. I hope nobody's been hurt, that's all.
Godfrey, I'm so thankful you've come.
Tell her to keep away, will you?
Thank you, Jane. Ma'am.
Sit down, Nancy. Sit here. I came back as soon as I could to hinder anybody's telling you but me. I've had a great shock. But I care more about the shock it'll be to you.
It isn't Father and Priscilla.
No, it's nobody living. It's Dunsey. My brother Dunsey, that we lost sight of 16 years ago, we found him. Found his body, his skeleton. The stone pit has gone dry suddenly from the draining, I suppose, and there he lies. Has lain for 16 years wedged between two great stones.
Oh.
There's his watch and seals, and there's my gold-handled hunting whip with my name on. And he took it away without my knowing the day he went hunting on Wildfire. Oh. The last time he was seen.
Do you think he drowned himself?
No. He fell in. Dunsey was the man that robbed Silas Marner.
Oh, Godfrey.
There was money in the pit, all the weaver's money. Everything's been gathered up, and they're taking the skeleton to the Rainbow. But I came to tell you, there was no hindering it, you must know. Everything comes to light, Nancy, sooner or later. When God Almighty wills it, our secrets are found out. I've lived with a secret on my mind, but I'll keep it from you no longer. I wouldn't have you know it by somebody else and not by me. I wouldn't have you find it out after I'm dead. It's been I will and I won't with me all my life, and I'll make sure of myself now. Nancy, when I married you, I hid something from you. Something I ought to have told you. That woman Marna found dead in the snow, Eppie's mother, that wretched woman, was my wife. Eppie is my child. You'll never think the same of me again. Like, I oughtn't have left the child unowned. I oughtn't have kept it from you, but I couldn't bear to give you up, Nancy. I was led away into marrying her. I suffered for it.
Godfrey. If you had but told me this years ago, we could have done some of our duty by the child. Do you think I'd have refused to take her in if I'd known she was yours? Oh, Godfrey, if we'd have had her from the first, if you'd taken her in as you ought, she'd have loved me for her mother, and you'd have been happier with me. I could have better have borne my little baby dying, and our life might have been more like what we used to think it would be.
But you wouldn't have married me then, Nancy, if I told you. You may think you would now, but you wouldn't then. With your pride and your father's, you'd have hated having anything to do with me after the talk that had been.
I can't say what I should have done about that, Godfrey. I should never have married anybody else. But I wasn't worth doing wrong for. Nothing is in this world. Nothing is so good as it seems beforehand. Not even our marrying wasn't, you see?
I'm a worse man than you thought I was, Nancy. Can you forgive me ever?
The wrong to me is but little, Godfrey. You've made it up to me. You've been good to me for 15 years. It's another you did wrong to, and I doubt you can ever make up for it now.
But we can take Eppie now. I won't mind the world knowing at last. I'll be plain and open for the rest of my life.
It'll be different coming to us now she's grown up. But it is your duty, and I'll do my part by her and pray to God Almighty to make her love me.
Then we'll go together to Silas Marner's this very night. As soon as everything's quiet at the stone pit.
It takes no hold of me now. The money. I wonder if it ever could again. To begin with, I did miss it. It has such a hold on me. Even after you came into my life for a little while, I'd have a sort of feeling come over me if you might be changed into the gold again. For sometimes, turn my head which way I would, I seemed to see the gold in your curls, and I thought I should be glad if I could feel it and find it was come back. But that didn't last long. After a bit, I should have thought it was a curse come again, if it drove you from me. You didn't know what old Silas felt for you.
But I know now, Father. I know that if it hadn't been for you that have taken me to the workhouse, who would have loved me there?
The blessing was mine. The money was taken away from me in time, and you see, it's been kept. It's kept till it was wanted for you.
Master Godfrey, ma'am.
Eppie, we're disturbing you very late, my dear.
Not at all. Come in.
Minor.
Mr. Godfrey. Ma'am.
Please, what you say? Thank you.
Well, Minor, it's a great comfort to me to see you with your money again after so many years. It was one of my family did you the wrong, the more grief to me, and I feel bound to make it up to you. Whatever I can do for you will be nothing but paying a debt, even if I look no further than the robbery. But there are other things I'm beholden, shall be beholden to you for, Minor.
Sir, I have a deal to thank you for already. As for the robbery, I count it no loss to me. And if I did, you couldn't help it. You aren't answerable for it.
You may look at it that way, Minor, but I never can. I know you're easily contented. You've been a hard-working man all your life.
Yes, sir. I should have been bad off without my work. It was what I held by when everything else was gone from me.
Well, it's time you laid by and had some rest. You look a good deal pulled down, though you're not an old man, are you?
55, as near as I can say, sir.
Why, you may live 30 years longer. Look at old Macy. And that money on the table, after all, is but little. It won't go far either way, whether it's put out to interest or you were to live on it as long as it would last.
There's few working folks who've got so much laid by as that. I don't know what it is to gentle folks, but I look upon it as a deal, almost too much. And as for Eppy and me, it's little we want.
Only the garden, Father. You love a garden, do you, my dear? We should agree in that. I give a deal of time to the garden.
And there's plenty of gardening at the house. You've done a good part by Eppy, Marna, for 16 years. It'd be a great comfort to you to see her well provided for, wouldn't it? You'd like to see her taken care of by those who can leave her well off and make a lady of her. She's more fit for it than a rough life, such as she might come to have in a few years' time.
I don't take your meaning, sir.
Well, my meaning is this, Marna. Mrs. Cass and I, you know, have no children. And we have more than enough for ourselves. And we should like to have somebody in the place of a daughter to us. We should like to have Eppy. And treat her in every way as our own child. Eppy, I'm sure, will always love you and be grateful to you. She'll come and see you very often, and we should all be on the lookout to do everything we could towards making you comfortable.
Eppy, my child, speak. I won't stand in your way. Thank Mr. and Mrs. Kent.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. But I can't leave my father, nor own anybody nearer than him. And I don't want to be a lady. Thank you, all the same. I couldn't give up the folks I've been used to.
But I've a claim on you, Eppy. The strongest of all claims. It is my duty, Marna, to own Eppy as my child and provide for her. She is my own child. Her mother was my wife. I have a natural claim on her that must stand before every other.
Then, sir, why didn't you say so 16 years ago and claim her before I came to love her, instead of coming to take her from me now, when you might as well take the heart out of my body? God gave her to me because you turned your back on her. And he looks upon her as mine. You've no right to her. When a man turns a blessing from his door, it falls to them as takes it in.
I know that, Marna. I was wrong. I've repented of my conduct in that matter.
Well, I'm glad to hear it, sir, but repentance doesn't alter what's been going on for 16 years. Your coming now and saying I'm her father doesn't alter the feelings inside us. It's me she's been calling her father ever since she could say the word.
But I think you might look at the thing more reasonably, Marna. It isn't as if she was to be taken quite away from you so that you'd never see her again. She'll be very near you and come to see you very often. She'll feel just the same towards you.
Just the same? How she'll feel just the same for me as she does now when we eat of the same bit and drink of the same cup and think of the same things from one day's end to the other? Just the same? That's idle talk. You cut us in two.
I should have thought, Marna. I should have thought your affection for Eppy would have made you rejoice in what was for her good. She may marry some low-working man, and then I couldn't make her well off. You are putting yourself in the way of her welfare, and though I'm sorry to hurt you, after what you've done and what I've left undone, I feel now it is my duty to insist
on taking care of my own daughter. I want to do my duty.
I'll say no more. Let it be as you will. Speak to the child. I'll hinder nothing. Eppie, my dear, it'll always be our wish that you should show your love and gratitude to one who's been a father to you so many years. But we hope you'll come to love us as well. And though I haven't been what a father should have been to you all these years, I wish to do the utmost in my power for you for the rest of my life and provide for you as my only child. And you'll have the best of mothers in my wife.
My dear, you'll be a treasure to me. We shall want for nothing when we have our daughter.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir, for your offers. They're very great and far above my wish. For what joy would there be in life if I were forced to go away from all that I care for? A true father to me who has loved me from the first, shown me love and kindness so that each and every day is made happy. Can I let go of that and leave him alone? As if our years were a mean time till another life was handed me. No, ma'am. No, sir. I'll cleave to him as long as he lives, and nobody shall ever come between us.
But you must make sure, Eppie, as you won't ever be sorry, because you made your choice to stay among poor folks and with poor clothes and things, when you might have had everything of the best.
I can never be sorry, Father. I shouldn't know what to think on or to wish for with fine things about me. I wouldn't want to be thought unfit in company for those that are fond of me. What would I be without them?
What you say is natural, dear child. It's natural you should cling to those who've brought you up. But there is a duty you owe to your lawful father. There's perhaps something to be given up on more sides than one. When your father opens his home to you, I think it's right. You shouldn't turn your back on it.
I can't feel as I've got any father but one. And it is my duty and my dearest wish to care for him as he has me. I never thought of it any other way in any other place than this. I wasn't brought up to be a lady and I can't turn my mind to it. I like the working folks and their houses and their ways. And I'm promised to marry a working man as I live here and help me to take care of my father.
Let us go.
We won't talk of this any longer now. We're your well wishers, my dear. And yours too, Marna. We shall come and see you again. It's getting late now.
Ended.
Yes. It wouldn't be right to force her to come to us against her will. We can't alter her bringing up and what's become of it.
No. There's debts we can't pay like money debts. It's too late now. Marna was in the right in what he said about a man's turning away a blessing from his door. It falls to somebody else. I wanted to pass for childless once, Nancy. I shall pass for childless now against my wish.
You won't make it known, then, about Eppie's being your daughter?
No. Where would be the good to anybody? Only harm. I must do what I can for her in the state of life she chooses. I must see who it is she's thinking of marrying. Have a notion. It's Aaron Winthrop. I remember seeing him with her and Marna going away from the church.
Well, he's very sober and industrious.
Mm-hmm. She's a very pretty, nice girl, isn't she, Nancy?
Yes, dear. And with just your hair and eyes, I wonder it had never struck me before.
You know, I think she took a dislike to me at the thought of my being her father. I could see a change in her manner after that.
Oh, she couldn't bear to think of not looking on Marna as her father.
It's part of my punishment, Nancy, for my daughter to dislike me. And in spite of all, I got you, Nancy. And yet I've been grumbling and uneasy because I hadn't something else. As if I deserved it.
Oh, you've never been wanting to meet Godfrey. My only trouble would be gone if you've resigned yourself to the lot that's been given us.
Well, perhaps it isn't too late to mend a bit there.
You're taking Eppy to Lantern Yard?
Tomorrow, I think, while the fine weather lasts. There's money there to do it, so...
But why?
Eppy's never been out to Ravelo. An adventure for her.
That's the reason.
I've been thinking on my old country for some time, Mrs. Winthrop. I should like to see the minister. Something over the years may have come to make him know I was innocent of the robbery.
It would be good to let go of it once and for all, I can see that. And it has been a weight for you to carry. If there is any light to be got up this Lantern Yard, bring some of it back with you. There's always room for the shedding of more light in this world.
Do you recognise any of it yet, Father?
Once I get to Prison Street, I will. I know my way from where the jail is as if I'd seen it yesterday.
Ask this gentleman with the tassels on his shoulder standing at the shop door. He isn't in a hurry like the rest.
Oh, my child. He won't know anything about it. Gentlefolks didn't ever go up the yard. Perhaps it's this way. There's the jail, Eppy. That's just the same. Ah, I aren't afraid now. It's the third turning on the left hand from the jail doors. That's the way we must go.
Oh, what a dark, ugly place. How it hides the sky. It's worse than the workhouse. I'm glad you don't live in this town now, Father. Is Lantern Yard like this street?
My precious child, it isn't a big street like this. I was never easy in this street myself, but I was fond of Lantern Yard. Shops here are all altered, I think. I can't make them out. But I shall know the turning. Here it is. And then we must go up a bit, then up Shoe Lane, and then at the entry, next to the overhanging window, where there's the nick in the road for the water to... I can see it all.
Oh, Father, I'm like as if I was stifled. I couldn't have thought as any folks lived in this way, so close together. How pretty the stone pits will look when we get back.
It looks strange to me, child, now, and smells bad. I can't think as it used to smell so. Dear heart.
Father? What's the matter? Father? Is it one of your attacks?
It's gone, child. Lantern Yard's gone. It must have been here because... Here's the house with the overhanging window. I know that. It's just the same, but they've made this big factory. It's all gone. Chapel and all.
Come, Father, let me. This little shop will let you sit down, I'm sure.
All gone.
Where you let the stones roll.
I should have waited for wall before you started planting.
I can't wait.
I can see that.
The old place is all swept away, darling. Little graveyard and everything. The old home's gone and no one knows where its people are gone. Scattered.
This is your home.
I shall never know whether they got to the truth of the robbery.
You wasn't meant to.
No, I suppose not.
You were hard done by that once, Master Marner. And it seems as you'll never know the rights of it. But that doesn't hinder the being of rights, for all it's dark to you and me. It's the will of them above as many things should be so, Master Marner. But there's some things I've never felt in the dark about. And they're mostly what comes in the day's work. They give me light enough. And isn't sitting out of an evening, after it's all done like this, letting the day settle down, knowing what's been done, what we have, light enough to live by.
Since the time the child was sent to me, and I've come to love her more than myself, I've had light enough to trust and by. And seeing how her happiness brims over, yes, Enough for this day and all those I have left to come, I think.
No!
Master Godfrey?
Mrs. Winthrop.
I thought it was you hiding under the tree.
The sun's too hot. I sought a moment's shade.
How lovely she looked.
I'm afraid I had some pressing business.
Oh, Master Godfrey, with her pure white dress, her hair looked like a dash of gold on a lily. Come, catch them yet. They're walking down to the rainbow.
I must get back. Nancy is expecting me.
The dress is lovely, sir.
I'm glad.
It was very kind of you.
My pleasure. I'm very fond of her, Mrs. Winthrop. Who in Ravelo is not?
She is well thought of.
As is Aaron. You must be very proud.
Oh, sir, I am. Couldn't you just see your way to stop in by a moment at the feast? Eppie would be so happy to see you, I'm sure of it, sir.
No, I must be gone. Just give her my very best wishes for her future happiness for me, will you?
Of course, sir. Of course I will. Good day to you.
There's Mr. Macy. Sat by his door, waving.
Too old to come along. He's racked with rheumatiz.
Well, Master Marner, I've lived to see my words come true. I was the first to say there was no harm in you.
Thank you, sir.
Though your looks might be again you. And I was the first to say it was a blessing you brought upon yourself to take the child in. And that you get your money back. And it's nothing as rightful as you should. I would have said the amens and willing at the holy matrimony had I been able. I hope you'll have none the worse luck.
Thank you, sir.
Good luck to you both. A happy life.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I always said it. It is a blessing he brought upon himself the moment he took the lone motherless child in.
You always said that, Jem Rodney.
Yeah, I was the first, and I defy any man here to tell me otherwise.
Well, all I know is, when a man has deserved his good luck, it is the part of his neighbours to wish him joy. Here they come.
Are you all right, Father?
I am. I do not think I could be happier, Eppy.
To your places all, let the wedding feast begin.
Silas Marner was George Costigan, Eppy Rebecca Callard, Dolly Deborah McAndrew, Godfrey Conrad Nelson, Nancy Maeve Larkin, and Priscilla was Fiona Clark. Macy was Seamus O'Neill, Jem Conrad Nelson, Snell Lee Simmons, and Aaron was Stephen Hoyle. Silas Marner by George Eliot was dramatised by Richard Cameron and directed in Manchester by Pauline Harris. After the news, Open Book, Mariella Frostrop talks to Canadian Booker Prize-winning author Margaret Atwood.